Big D and Bubba. They have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind. So they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of our great broadcast that we're about to place in front of you.
Yo.
And before we get started, we want to say thanks to our friends who have been with us. You know, Red Wing Shoes came on and...
for the show, not really for the podcast.
They came for the show and sent us some shoes and some boots.
I have a pair of boots. Watch, I'm going to pull them out here because...
They are the official sponsor of today's podcast.
I just pulled them out of my truck. They were in the back. I've got these Red Wing hiking boots, which I didn't even know the Red Wing had hiking boots. And they are the podcast sponsor too?
Yes, they are.
Oh, I thought we were just talking about them because they were cool. But they're waterproof. They've got the electrical hazard thing going. But these are like the baddest ever. And by baddest, I mean the good, bestest. But they're like so awesome. You know how whenever you put on a new pair of boots, there's that break-in period, and it's the worst thing. Mm-hmm. These things, dude. I went out and I did like 5 miles, and it was like shoes that I've had for the longest time.
I like how when you ordered boots, you both went in the opposite direction. Like Bubba got outdoorsy looking hiking. D got some really cool looking, like they almost like dress shoes, but they're boots.
Yeah.
They're like durable. That's really cool looking.
Yeah.
We are different. So we want to get out their little ad here because they're an awesome sponsor. Red Wing Shoes. Work is craft. Work is teamwork. Work is trust. And you really care about your work. Work is Red Wing Boots. They are purposely built for the exact work you do. Red Wing Shoes. Work is our work.
We don't do a whole lot of work. it's not really purposely built for our kind of work.
I'm lacing mine up here. And this
Look at my red wing flip flops,
dude. You wouldn't believe how many different styles they have, and it's like turning into a big giant thing. But if you go to their website, you would freak out when you see all the other stuff they have on there. It's not just work boots. They got, like I said, I got the hiking boots, and they've got all these like dress shoes and really cool things.
Good stuff. How was y'all's week?
It was good. It was a little frustrating. We're doing this diet bet where we're trying to lose 4% of our body weight in 4 weeks. So we have 28 days to drop X amount of pounds. And I think, what am I losing? Like, I have like 11 and a half, something like that, pounds.
Dude, you lost almost half of it in the first week.
Well, I know, but that's the problem. In the first week, I did. This week, I gained a pound on Monday when we did the weigh-in. I had lost a pound, but I gained that pound back by Tuesday, and it is still with me right now.
Oh, poor thing, a whole pound.
No, but the thing is, when you're in this contest, the diet bet, we've got $50 each on the line. And when you're in the contest, the idea is to get down to where you're supposed to be, your target weight, and then keep going a little bit. That way you're safe.
I'm going to tell you the truth. Dr. Oz made me think, he got in my head, man, about the lap band surgery.
Are you thinking about doing it?
My doctor tried to talk me into it twice.
I was amazed. First of all, the adjustable thing was crazy.
But it's not as easy as just, you can adjust it to go on vacation.
Before we say adjust, let's preface it with what Dr. Oz said. He said lap band, they leave a port, a little thing that they can go into your stomach and make adjustments on the fly. Like, let's say you are going on vacation. You can go to your doctor, and your doctor can actually add fluid or take fluid away and give your stomach a little more space. Yes, I said that right. Mm-hmm. And then when you go on vacation, you can eat a little more and all that. And then when you come back, you go back to your doctor. And I don't know if it's a full-on surgical procedure or if it's just they go into that port like laparoscopically and do it whatever.
Yeah, that's how it is. It's not something you can do yourself. It's not like they put a button on you and you can just...
like Reebok pumps.
I'm going to pump my stomach up before I start eating so I'm not too hungry.
Yeah.
It'd be great.
So where are you standing? Where are you thinking, like... What percentage are you of doing
now? I'm 50-50 now. I was never anything above 10% before. I don't know. Here's what my doctor told me. She says, here's how I know you're a good candidate for this. It's not that you can't lose weight. It's that you can't keep it off. You have a real problem sticking to something more than 6 to 8 months. Because think, how many times have I lost 100 pounds? Think about how crazy it is to lose 100 pounds. Yeah. I have done that 5 times in my life.
That's
crazy. Only 34 years old. I've lost 50 pounds or in one shot at least 10 times.
It is so crazy the way Patrick can lose weight.
But yet at the same time.
And you do it fast, which is insane.
Since July, since my birthday in July, I have gained 65 pounds in 9 months.
So basically about 8 pounds a month.
Oh, my, I mean, so I don't know.
Are you going to be in a movie? Or are you trying to bulk up for a role or something?
No, it ain't that kind of thing. What he said that got to me was, he said, it's the most underused surgical procedure in the United States, considering the health problems we have, considering how small the side effects are for lap band, not bypass. You know, usually it's the benefits outweigh any risk, because being even 30, 40, 50 pounds overweight can be more detrimental to your health than any side effects of lap band surgery.
Yeah, he said if you're like 50 pounds overweight and you've got issues with thyroid or diabetes or anything like that, you should definitely talk to your doctor and consider it. I was kind of blown away.
And I'm over, I'm 140 pounds overweight.
I was blown away by that, because when you think about being overweight, you think morbidly obese as being where they would draw the line. It's an interesting take, and my eyes were opened. I mean, granted, I'm 50 pounds plus overweight, but I don't think I'm a good candidate because I'm still in pretty good health. You know, I mean, I still run and play softball and basketball. I don't think I need it, because I don't have a problem gaining and losing weight. I've just been slowly creeping up. I need to bring my weight down. Yeah. However, Patrick and I, it almost scares me to say this, but Patrick, I think, is a good candidate for this. Because of the fact that you yo-yo. We're told that yo-yoing is the most unhealthy thing possible.
Right, exactly. So, I don't know. It's worth having a conversation. I think maybe when we're done with the diet bet, I'll go ask your doctor if it's right for you.
Well, I'm asking you.
Well, I'm saying it's right for you. 4 people got that joke, but I hope those 4 people... I'm laughing so hard right now.
Get you a prescription for Testamax.
I want to say, earlier this week, I went to a professional organization meeting for the young entertainment professionals.
Mm-hmm. Which you are.
Yeah. I was the oldest person there, or close to it, because everyone was in their early 20s, and I was by far the fattest person there. It was difficult.
Is that weighing into your decision on whether or not you want to go?
Well, it just sucks. I mean, it sucks to be the fattest person in a room of 100 people. There's 100 people standing around this room, and I'm not that big. I'm not one of these people that has to use a scooter or can't get off my couch.
You're not rotund.
No, and I'm 6 feet tall. I carry all my weight in my, you know, I don't have a really fat face or really fat hands, or, you know, I'm lucky. And at the same time, that's how you creep up to 340-ish pounds, is by being...
Was it even close?
Oh, it wasn't even close. Everybody was young and skinny and beautiful. It was awful.
You're beautiful.
Did you make any moves on any chicks?
No, of course not.
Did you make any moves?
No. Very nice.
Did you ask them if they're going to eat the rest of their food?
Thanks. Here's something skinny people never think about. My ex-wife was really, really skinny. And I had to tell her all the time. We'd be at like a wedding or a party, and like some kind of work event, and the buffet would open, and she'd go, "Oh, I'm so hungry. Let's go eat." I went, No. We can't be the first ones in the line." "Why not?" "Because I'm a fat guy. The fat guy can't be the first one in the line. Because
It looks too
bad.
Obvious.
It's too obvious." I'm like, "I'm not going to do it." Skinny people don't think about that. If you're hungry and you're skinny, you go, "Oh, the buffet's open. Let me go be the first one in the line."
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't do that. Can't be the first person in line when you're
I don't like buffets. I really, they kind of gross me out.
Buffets used to be okay for me until, I don't know, I reached an age where I was like, you know, I don't know. I kind of caught on to how they do buffets.
Like when you think about how long that chicken has been sitting
out.
Here's
the deal. Like my dad would go, "Let's go to a buffet." "Well, Dad, it's like, they're going to close in 30 minutes.
"Good. That means you're trying to get rid of all that food."
"No, it's the worst time to go to a buffet."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You want to go to the buffet 30 seconds after they open.
Yeah, yep. I'm fine getting there at, you know, right if they open at 11, getting there at 11:05. That's about the only time
Like, I'm in this weird mix of, like, if I go to a buffet, I don't go to buffets much anymore, but when I went to one, I've always felt like a slob. I felt like a big, fat slob.
Yep. And then you're kind of ashamed to get back up and go fill your plate.
Yes. But if I go to, like, these little fancy places, the healthy ones, and they bring, and it's a really small amount, and they put the plate in front of me, and there's not much food there, I get kind of, like, mad. Like... So I'm in that weird medium of like...
I hate fancy restaurants for that reason alone. Anytime you have some place that is more worried about the presentation than the food, and they bring it out and your plate has like a really fancy looking display of food in the middle, and they've got drizzle... If they've got room to drizzle crap around it, then there's not enough food. That's a problem.
That's great.
Drizzle that and put a little decoration of plant on there, and you're like, what the hell?
That's how much you're supposed to eat.
Supposed to eat, yeah.
Eat the small little thing.
Kathy she read this thing on this, some lady from France, and she moved to the United States, and she said that in France, they eat very, very slow. Meals are a special...
Like Italy, too, they do it. It's a European thing.
Yeah, I think it is, too. And they don't hurry up. They savor the food. Like, they'll eat, and they'll just... put their fork down and just enjoy the company they're around. And man, I'm like so into that. I like the idea of that. It's just, I have to consciously think that way.
Yeah.
You have to really plan. I mean, at the house, we sit down and eat. We don't, you know, we don't go around and, you know, we don't sit at the, you know, in a chair or whatever.
Did I ever tell you about the time I went to the Feast of Seven Dishes?
No, it's like a seven-course meal thing?
It was amazing. It's the Italian-American Christmas Eve, and it is the most kick-butt thing I've ever done. We went to these people's party, and, you know, they have, like, the dad is a chef, you know, and they had the whole thing, and it was seven courses, but they brought it out, and each course was totally different. Like, they come out with an appetizer, and you're like, oh, this is great, you know, and it's like, and you just pass it along the table, and everybody takes whatever they want. Then they come back out with a pasta, and then, like, everybody eats a little bit of that.
Is there a lot of time in between each one?
Yes, there's dancing and time, and it's just fun, and it's musical, and this meal... I mean, they bring out a fish thing later. They bring out a whatever later, and they just keep it coming. And then there was two different desserts they brought out, and you have to eat each one. It was 5 hours. 5 hours of feasting, which sounds crazy. And I know I ate a bunch of food, but I never got full because the way that we ate and the way it was spaced out and the way that it was planned, it was the coolest thing I'd ever done because it was obviously like something that, you know, culturally they'd honed over the last several hundred years, and they knew how to serve it in what order to where everybody could literally take part of the feast without getting full.
But no one has 5 hours.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Yeah, that's more than a golf round.
It was amazing, dude. I'm just telling you, if you were ever invited to a Feast of the Seven Fishes by anybody who is somewhat, even remotely somewhat Italian, take them up on it.
Sounds very cultish.
There was a lobster.
Would you like to go to the Feast of
the
Seven?
The Feast of the Seven Fishes?
Oh, dude. Hey, no,
whoever says it has to have an accent, because you can't say that without some kind of...
That's like something that, like, you're dating a girl, you know, in college, and you don't know her very well, and she's from, like, a different background than you.
Like the...
And then all of a sudden...
The Buddhist girl in Guam?
yeah, Bubba's Buddhist girl. And, like, after about, you know, 4 weeks or so, 3 weeks, she's like... I want to invite you to the Feast of Seven Fishes with me and my family. And you're like, oh, that's great. You will find out what your spirit animal is that night. And we'll do a bloodletting. And you will become one with my family. Oh, that's, you know what? That sounds really creepy. And, you know, I'm glad I know this now. Because I don't want to be a part of your family.
There was this girl I dated in Guam, Patrick. I don't know if I ever told you this. She was beautiful.
Wasn't her dad like...
Yeah, you did tell this. Yeah. She was...
Yeah.
Wow.
And anyway, but the whole basic point is that we couldn't date unless I would go to the temple with her several times and basically convert to Buddhism. And I'm like, nah, I can't do that.
Like, when you showed up, did you think that they would... Like pray to you?
No, you know, back then, Bubba didn't look like that.
That's true.
It probably didn't work at all.
They prayed to my future self.
Buddha is here with us today. I'm marrying Buddha.
Yeah, it was.
I apologize if that's offensive.
I'm sure it's offensive.
Sure, it's very offensive.
You know what? I dated for like 2 weeks. I dated a Vietnamese girl in college. It was a girl I met in high school, and then we ran into each other in college, and we kind of dated for 2 weeks. Her father was totally, because he wanted her to marry a Vietnamese Buddhist doctor, and I was like, I'm never going to
be picky or anything.
Least two of those things. Okay, I'm never going to be Vietnamese or a doctor, and I'm pretty sure I'm not going to be Buddhist, so this is not going to work out.
Yeah. Did she know that? Did she know that's what her dad wanted?
Oh, yeah.
Did she care what her dad wanted?
Let me tell you, the first time I went to pick her up, because we were in college, so, and she didn't live with her parents, but it was the same city her parents lived in, because I went to LSU, her parents lived in Baton Rouge, so okay. The first few times we went out, we met up, you know, you meet up somewhere or whatever. I picked her up at her apartment. And then one time we were going somewhere, we're like, oh, can you pick me up at my folks' house so you can meet my parents? I was like, mm-hmm. Yeah. Her father didn't look me in the eye. It was one of those things where she brought me into the living room. He was reading the newspaper, mm-hmm. and he didn't even look up from his newspaper. Wow. Dad, this is Patrick, the boy I was telling you about. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay, well, you be safe. Be home by 11.
Wow.
I'm like, oh, okay.
Somebody didn't look like everybody else.
That's right. She was also like 4'10" and weighed maybe 90 pounds. So that might be
I would love
good...
to see you stand next to her.
Well, my ex-wife was 5'6" and weighed 100
Yeah, but that's
pounds.
A half a foot plus difference.
Yeah, like Ralphie May always says, when we stood next to each other, we looked like the number 10. I always wanted to do that for Halloween, but she was never game.
You guys were the reverse of the victims of any kind of crime in a trailer park. Normally, whenever you see that, it's like a really skinny guy, a little
That's
skinny,
right.
tiny
little
guy,
bitty skinny
and
guy.
A huge and then
you got,
woman.
And you got June from Honey Boo Boo next to him. You guys
hey,
were
boo-boo.
The...
Hey, look.
Well, you know, we
you
just
were
heard,
the reverse of that.
You sounded like a train coming through.
It sounded just like a train. And then, I was like, get in the bathroom, y'all, Sugar Bear.
And so she got in the bathtub, and there's just no more. There's plumb no more room. And so what I did was I went and I jumped in the kitchen sink. I just curled myself up, and that's in the left side. And we had one side. And the curled myself up, and it came on over, and it was blowing. It was blowing. And then all of a sudden. Everything was gone, but
her.
Honey Bear,
but her
Honey Bear was there, didn't move a bit.
Oh man! And
Tornado didn't pick her up none at all.
None at
she
all.
She was fine.
She was. That's just the God.
The sad thing is, and there's so many families dealing with that this week.
I know.
You know,
that's
there's
probably
so,
not funny.
It's not funny. Too soon.
Too soon.
But there's so many people dealing with that this week. I've been fascinated with watching the YouTube videos that people shoot with their cell phones of the tornadoes passing like inches from them, or you know, they're in the tornado itself. There's so many now because there's cameras everywhere.
Yeah, that's right.
That we are not only getting to watch it, but we're watching it through the victim's eyes, and you're seeing all these things, and it's just insane. The damage, the power, the kookiness of those tornadoes. And again, I know we were kidding a moment ago, but definitely thoughts and prayers going out to the victims and the families, because that is...
It's a scary moment. When I lived in Oklahoma City, obviously it's a tornado alley, as they call it, we would have tornadoes that would come through, and they would get really close. They would get really close to the house, and you can, when it gets so close, your ears pop.
The pressure change?
Yeah.
Yeah, and what's one of the signs that you look for is it would just everything. The best way I can describe it is that nothing seems right. Everything in your body, you know, we are all wired, you know, like animals. We're all animals, okay? And animals know when to split. They can feel it, and you're around, you're in it, and all of a sudden you're like your whole body's screaming to get out of there. Mm-hmm. And you're fighting with your brain to say, no, we got to stay here because of XYZ. I got to do this because this is, oh, now I'm just being silly. But your primal person is going, you've got to go. Go now, 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 yeah. now. Go, 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 go. It's just the same feeling that like women who are on an elevator and the door opens and there's a guy who's standing there to get on the elevator. And it's just
you know instantly you that know. He's a bad guy.
You know something bad.
You get that
bad.
Feeling and you're like, this ain't right.
But because socially you can't get off of that floor mm-hmm. because it's not your floor. Socially you can't do that and make a scene because so you stay there, and you know what happens? A lot of times, it's exactly what it was. He rapes her, abducts her, whatever.
Yeah.
And this took a dark turn.
It may save someone's life. It's good because how many times, Big D, do we run into people, and instantly we know if they're a good person or if they're a bad person?
I can feel it. Yesterday, I could feel it. I was with my bud Bob, and we were having coffee, and this guy's walking down the street, and I'm telling you, I don't know what he was into. I don't know what he had on him, but it was nothing good.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, we went to this coffee place. This is creepy out. This coffee place, never been to it before. Opened the door. I stepped 1 foot in it. And I knew that in this build, there was a weird feeling in the building. And I felt that there was like an Eastern religion kind of very that kind of stuff, you know, uh-huh. going on.
You're really afraid of anything that isn't you. Yeah. I've noticed that you don't like things that aren't Big D.
No, I don't. Partly is how I was raised. But I get in there,
like when Brantley Gilbert comes
that's
in.
All they had, it was all that stuff. She was all into Hinduism. She was into all this Eastern meditation.
I'm totally open to all that. I know what I believe in my heart and stuff, but I guess maybe it's from living in that side of the world, but I'm fascinated by all that. I've read so many books, I started with that The Tao of Pooh back when I was like a teen. You ever read that?
You talking about Winnie the Pooh?
Yeah, it was Winnie the Pooh, and it was basically talking about Taoist beliefs as told through Winnie the Pooh stories. It was fantastic, and I read that kind of stuff, and you know, you can see all that, and as a Christian, you can go, you know what? It helps you sometimes go, oh, this is what Jesus was talking about. I know that sounds crazy, but you know, it's interesting seeing other people.
What was what Jesus was talking about?
Well, just like some of the peaceful route, you know, just turn the other cheek and all that kind
of
stuff.
There's a lot of shared Jesus's teachings. There's a lot of very, you know, in the end, the good parts of all the religions are very similar. Be nice to each other. Love each other.
Yeah.
God is love. It's not super hard. People find weird stuff to make into all goodness gracious. Yeah. There's so much.
Yeah. And you know what? It's interesting because I think if more people realize that there are some good things that we all share, then maybe we can start there, but we can't get past the bad stuff. I mean, there's things about certain people that it gives me the heebie-jeebies. I mean, I'm not going to say who, what, when, where, but I think, you know, everybody can kind of take it upon their own personal thing. And you know, there are certain religions that kind of freak you out. Because you're intimidated by them, because you don't know. And I think if we started somewhere, maybe...
Can't we just all get along?
Yeah, can't we all just get along?
I mean, yeah, I don't like what isn't necessarily me. But when it comes to that, I think there, to me, my religion is based on the Bible, and the Bible says there is one way. And so... I believe in that, and so I believe in
well, and
there's
that's,
one way.
That's not what I'm talking
but
about.
But even
I'm
that,
not
how
saying...
many religions are based on the Bible that aren't your religion, like mine? I mean, they're so you can interpret the Bible 500 different ways because there's 500 different sects of Christianity. So it's all, you know.
Are there 500 different Christians?
If you really break it down, yes.
Oh, you mean like denominations?
Yes.
Probably at least.
At least.
Wow.
At least.
So. I guess I kind of see that. I mean, Stacy and I, we, you know, I'm Baptist, she's Catholic, so we've always struggled with how to raise the kids. So we go to a multi-denominational church now, and it's just, you know, it's interesting because I'm exposed to things that I wouldn't normally have been exposed to. Like we'll have an Episcopal guest speaker one day, and then we'll have a Seventh-day Adventist will come in, and then we'll have a Catholic priest come in. And it's just, it's interesting to see all of that and and experience that.
Yeah, I went to a Catholic mass with Kathy's family, and because they're all Catholic, and it was kind of awkward at first, and then I just kind of got to the point where I was like, ah, you know what, hey, this is cool. It's kind of, to me, it's kind of sterile, but it's also very traditional,
right?
And so, you know, if you like the history of it, and you kind of like, we do this every time, and we stand up this, and we all recite that, and then he says this, and if you like that, great. And it was just kind of another way of seeing someone who is, you know, worshiping, do it that way, and I didn't have any problem with it at all.
You know, I find interesting. Again, it goes back to what Patrick said. There's a lot of good that is shared, and the basic premises are pretty similar. You know, there's some fundamental differences in all religions, but I do appreciate the fact that someone has a God, and I mean this not as a slight to an atheist at all. I just can't imagine that we're this little pebble floating around in space by accident. I know that sounds crazy, and a lot of people go, "Oh, you're making yourself self-important. It's just the way things go, you big blob of carbon." But it's just crazy. And how many times, whenever you're at the lowest point in your life, you know, who do you rely on if you're atheist? How do you? I mean, I know when I'm at those low points, I have to pray, I have to reach out because I have to feel like there's something bigger than me. And I just, you know, I can respect someone of another religion easier than I can somebody who is atheist. And by respect, I mean I can relate to somebody of another religion easier than I could
have
somebody who doesn't believe at all.
We're going to have this guy on the show, Amir Akzel.
Who is he?
He wrote a book called Why Science Does Not Disprove God. So it's his thing is he wrote this book because he kept hearing Richard Dawkins and Christopher Hitchens, the famous atheists, say with so much assurance, so much confidence, well, science just basically proves God doesn't exist.
Oh, dude.
And it just drove him nuts. So this guy is a physicist and a mathematician, and his thing is, no. And here are all the reasons why.
It doesn't prove anything. We have no proof of anything.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's where faith comes in. That's why it's called faith.
And the thing is, he is an agnostic, I believe. I don't think he really has any specific religion, but he just knows that he doesn't know. So it's one of those things, it's kind of, if you ever felt like...
Is this the guy from NPR who does that Friday thing sometimes?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And Science that's, Friday on NPR.
That's an interesting... This is such a weird podcast for us.
Yeah.
That's such an interesting thing, though, because... Like, I love science. I love talking quantum physics. I love talking about quarks and, you know, multiverses and all that kind of crazy stuff. And I really believe that we're part of this thing, this God's plan. But on the other side, I'm also fascinated by the science side of it. And I don't argue science or with scientists about God or not. I like to just listen. And I love that show, Cosmos. Have you guys watched the reboot? With Neil deGrasse Tyson. It's phenomenal. It's so well done. But I get angry. As much as I love the show, I hate it twice as much because all they do is belittle not just Christians, but believers of any religion. You know, they'll be talking about this and that, and they'll go, and of course, there are some people who believe there is a God. And then they go into something else. And I'm like, you know, you didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
You didn't have to interject your crap into this beautiful show because it is, it's a beautiful, I get so enraged. I'm like, you know, how dare you laugh at me for that? I don't laugh at you for not believing. Respect each other.
So that's coming up next week.
That'll be a very interesting conversation. And the fact that he's agnostic and he's saying that science doesn't disprove God, I think is pretty important. I'm glad you booked him, Patrick.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, I think this podcast is way too deep.
This is a verge. Can we talk about
somebody
something fluffy?
Tell a belly joke or something? Seriously.
We did that earlier. Remember the whole right. I walked in, he called me Buddha. I think that's how we got started on this.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Again, thank you to Red Wing Shoes for being a sponsor with us. You guys have been fantastic. Absolutely love my Red Wing boots. You are awesome.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.